Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Welcome to...
Wait, don't stop that. Keep it going. You are a professional. You are a professional radio announcer.
No, not anymore.
Not anymore. Hi, I'm Mark Clifton. Welcome to the Revitalize and Replant podcast.
Wait a minute. You were in radio too.
I was.
Apparently, you were,
but not very well. I was in AM radio. You were in FM radio. There's a difference.
A big difference.
Someone told me I had a voice for AM. It's true. What? They did.
All right. So this
let's start over. Take two. Here we go.
This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. And we're delighted that you have decided to spend some time, or we hope you'll spend some time with us. And we actually do have a plan, which is exactly what we're talking about today when we talk about Christ's plans for his church. My name is Dan Hurst. That right across the hallway there is that's Mark Clifton. We keep him in his own little stall.
That's right.
And we have down
at the end of the table, we have
Mark Howlett.
Yep.
And so Mark has did you really drive in from Denver?
No, I didn't.
You mentioned that.
I know. I thought about it. I mean, it's a beautiful territory out here.
We are in Kansas City. That's where we're.
We are in Kansas City. No, I flew in last
night. Oh, okay. All right. We're in Spurgeon's Library.
That's right. As we've said before, in Spurgeon's Library, in Spurgeon's podcast studio, Victorian microphones and
it's old.
Victorian table.
Yeah. The whole thing.
So we are here at Spurgeon's Library. If you have a chance to come to Midwestern Seminary, I hope you do. And visit Spurgeon's Library. It is an amazing place.
It's very inspiring.
They're very gracious to let us do our podcast live from Spurgeon's Library.
Well, they were.
They asked us to leave about an hour ago, but we're hanging around.
Don't you have to go to lunch?
No, not really. We're here. So
we're talking about Christ's plans for his church. First of all, give a real quick synopsis about how we came about this particular study.
Yes, the book by Richard and Henry Blackaby, Flickering Lamps, and Christ, it's called Flickering Lamps, Christ in His Church. And obviously it's taken from the book of Revelation about I Will Remove Your Lampstand. And it's a wonderful book. It's a beginning place for churches that are seeking revitalization. It talks about Christ and his church. And what you have to do in a revitalization is you have to get the members to realize this church does not belong to me. It belongs to Christ. Jesus has a plan for every church, and our job is not to do his work for him, but to find out what he wants us to do and then follow him in that work. And so that's what we're about. Our previous podcast was entitled, the first chapter, which was Christ's Purpose in His Church, which is to glorify God. That's the ultimate purpose of the church. So today, what is Christ's plans for his church? And that's really important because we often want our plans for his church, but we need to know what are his plans.
And don't we confuse his purpose and his plan? I mean, a lot of times in churches, we seem to be more focused on the purpose. We kind of know what the purpose is.
Well, we do now, hopefully, is to glorify God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
But then the plans are all of those things that the denomination sends us in their little package on how we're supposed to do that. And we wonder why it falls flat on its face.
Yes. So what other plan? That's an excellent question. You go to a dying church. What's the plan here? Mm. That's the question. Yeah. How do we get from where we are to where we think God wants us to go? Yeah. What is the plan? And you'll probably have no shortage of opinions on how to do it, even among a few remaining members. But how do you know what Christ's plan is for your church? How do you understand that? How do you discover it? And once you find it, how do you live it out? That's a really important part. But here's how it begins. Rather than that, this is the question. Here it is. Here's the money question. You ready? How has your congregation sought to know those plans? How has your congregation sought to know? Not try to figure it out for yourself what you want to do. How have you sought to find out what Jesus wants you to do? And that's the real question. And in a lot of dying churches, Mark, they go to every place but Christ. Yeah. Talk about some of the places dying churches go to try to find help and try to find their way out.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think in our day and age, it's easy to go to some leadership guru or we look at the big church down the street and figure, hey, whatever they're doing works for them, must work for us. we look to the business world. There's a lot we can learn from the business world, but what's the you know, get us some leadership principles. We look at all kinds of things. We see where we see success or however we define success, and then we try to mimic it. And what ends up happening is churches just do a really lame version of something that is being done well and uniquely in a different context versus going to our knees in prayer before the Word of God and saying, Lord Jesus, what is your plan for our church?
Right. And if we understand God's purpose in His church, which we talked about in the previous podcast, which is to glorify God, glorify Himself, that's Christ's purpose in the church, then we know there's a plan. There has to be a plan for that. And so what you have to help your congregation understand is Jesus has a plan for our church. Now, a lot of times when I'll go sit down with a congregation in a consultant role, I will tell them, I don't know what that plan is. I have no idea what that plan is. And you know what? You don't either, or you wouldn't call me. So you don't know what the plan is. I don't know what the plan is. But you know who does know what the plan is? Jesus knows what the plan is. And Henry Blackaby used to say, people would come up to him and say, Henry, we've tried this. We've tried that. We sent people to this conference, and we tried that. We went down to this church and learned that. And they'd say, Henry, you don't understand. None of that works at our church.
Yeah.
And Henry used to say, no, I do understand. None of that works anywhere unless Jesus tells you to do it. There's nothing magical about that stuff. Yeah. It's what Jesus tells you to do. So the question is, how are you pursuing Christ to find out what He wants you to do in His church? You mentioned leadership books. So I was on a panel discussion one time. Anybody else get tired of panel discussion?
They're pretty popular these days.
Oh, I just said that I'm probably on a panel discussion tomorrow someplace. They probably. So I love.
You know what's worse than panel discussions?
What's that?
Listening to panel.
There you go. All right, I love it. Or better yet, listening to someone ask a question of a panel discussion. He gives you his life story.
Yeah,
that's the best one. Let me tell you about my church. Anyway, but I was on a panel discussion one time, and there were three or four people, other really church planter types up there with me. I was the only replanter, and the guy said, and he was putting a softball up there for everybody. He thought, and he said, Can pastors learn something? You know, not pastors. Can your church members, can churches learn something from good secular leadership material?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I'm just going to pop this balloon right here.
I see where this is going.
And so the other church planters down the road from me on the panel discussion, I could tell they were all geared up to,
yeah,
we can learn this, we can learn that. So here I am, this old geezer on the front. And I go, can I take that first? Yeah. I said, you know, I tell you what. I have a hard time getting the members of our church to really love and embrace and look first at God's Word and spend time in God's Word.
Mm.
I said, the adversary will help distract us any way he can from God's Word.
Yeah.
So I said, if you put two things in front of a layman who's just sort of nominally committed to Christ and a nominal church member, and you put God's Word and a leadership book written by a secular person, which one do you think he's probably going to be drawn to most? I said, we have to be very careful about that, because our flesh is always drawn to the wisdom of man, always drawn to the flesh is never drawn to the Scripture. And we have to understand, as we shepherd people, we've got to be very careful about that, because they're always... Can you learn something from? Oh, of course you can. You can learn a stove is hot, so you don't touch it, for goodness sake. You know, you learn, you know, you need to brush your teeth and comb your hair so you look decent. Of course there's things we learn. But the point is, where do we find Jesus' plan for our church? I got so many stories, but that's okay, because it's kind of my podcast.
That's right.
But I was staying with Henry Blackaby, actually. We were, it was a retreat in Colorado. See, so there's a tie-in.
Hey, there he is.
There's a tie-in.
Yeah,
Mark's from Colorado.
That was very purposeful.
That was purposeful. I think we were Winter Park, actually. And anyway, I was in the same condo thing with Henry. I was much, much younger. I was a very young man probably in my late 20s, early 30s. And this book had just come out, and you know, everybody's read it, Frog in the Kettle, which was by help me. Somebody call in. What's the phone number here? No, I don't.
I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'll think of it in a minute. Anyway, the Frog in the Kettle. And so, you know, so I had it there with me, and, you know, I kind of thought I would impress Henry with, you know, how much I knew about things and that I'm a current, up-to-date reader and all that kind of stuff. And so I had it there on the coffee table of the condo or whatever. And so I asked him one time, George Barna, obviously everybody knows George Barna. So I had it there on the table, and I said, have you read this? And he said, in the only way Henry could, he said, I've looked at it. And I said, I found it very helpful to me. He said, you know, Mark, I prefer not to take any advice from a book that only has three scripture references in it from cover to cover.
Wow.
Now, there may be more than that. I don't remember exactly how many there were, but he knew how many there were.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know what? Wow. If I've got a limited time to read on this earth and a limited time to look at things, I probably don't need – he's probably right.
Yeah.
Not that there's not some wisdom in that.
Sure.
But why don't I spend more time? You know, our flesh is always drawn away from God's word.
Man.
And so I just think we'd be very careful. We're looking for what is Jesus' plan for our church. We're going to end up looking everywhere sometimes except what Christ wants, because the adversary is going to convince us to look everywhere else. Now, don't get mad at me, George Barna. I know he listens to the podcast every day. So hang in there, George. It'll be all right.
I think he's subscribed.
Oh, no, he just unsubscribed. That's all.
Well, you know, I mean, this is what you think about. Like, church revitalization is a supernatural work, which needs supernatural power.
Wow, that's so true.
Okay, it's a supernatural work. We actually believe in God. We believe that God is alive and moving in power, and that he actually has, this isn't theory. So why in the world would we use worldly methodology to do a supernatural work? Hmm. We need a supernatural source, and that's God himself.
And part of the problem along with that is that because it's a supernatural work, we start doing it in our own flesh.
That's right.
And then there is a real conflict.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And if it's a conflict between us as pastors and God,
mm-hmm.
what do you think's happening with the people?
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
So here's the question from Flickering Lamps that it will just hopefully knock your socks off if you're in a church. Christ planned for his church. Here's the question. What one ministry, give me one ministry in our church that could only have been developed after God showed us how to do it? Is there one thing in our church that we're doing that really we can look at and say, man, God really, we can tell you the story of how God led us to do that, how God was all over that. So much in our church we could do without God. We could do it in our own power,
it's
our
convicting.
Own might.
Yeah.
It's very convicting. Mm-hmm. If we're truly the church of Jesus Christ in this place, there ought to be one thing we can look at and say, man, that is all about God.
Right, yep.
I'll give you an example. I will. At Linwood, church where I'm pastor, those of you who don't know, had three remaining members in 2020, a little town of 400 people. God replanted it. We have about 40 or 50 now, something like that, in attendance. It was Christmas time, and the school, we always told the school, we'll do anything you want us to do. We'll help any way you want us to help. And so they called us right at the end of the school year, right before Christmas, and said, look, there's two families that weren't adopted. We thought they were going to be, but they weren't. And they really have some tremendous Christmas needs. And here's their list, and it's going to be $585, something like that, for both families. Well, we'd had a pretty tight fiscal year this year, and we'd hired a full-time pastor for the first time. Well, not me, but another guy. And we'd done a lot of other ministry in the community. So I was meeting with the elders, and we looked, and honestly, we had about maybe $600 or $700 left in the bank. I don't mean we had a savings account or anything else. We had nothing, right, at the end of the year. But we had already made a commitment to Christ that the school was one of our primary ministries, and wherever door opened, we would go. So we really felt like this was Jesus' plan for his church, was for us to serve this school. So with any question, without any doubt, we spent our last $585 on two families that we'll probably never see in our church. So it's Christmas Eve service, and I hadn't thought about doing this at all, but I walk into Christmas Eve service, and we've got this little offering box at the back, and I thought, it just crossed my mind. The Lord brought it to my mind, and we actually had a huge crowd that Christmas Eve, this past Christmas Eve. And so I just made one mention. I just said, look, we've helped a couple of families this year at Christmas. On your way out, if you want to participate in that, the offering box is back there. Well, here's the God thing, all right? Our associate pastor called me, and he said, I think we needed $585, something like that. We got like $596, just a few dollars more. But here's the deal. It was all in cash.
Mm.
Now, you know, if a couple of people wrote $250 checks, you'd think, okay. But I don't know what it took. What's the odds that you're going to get that much? No checks.
Yeah.
There were no checks. It was all cash.
Mm.
Well, immediately, our hair stands on the back of our neck. You can say, we can look and go, God did that.
Yeah.
We were faithful with our little bit of money. It wasn't like somebody wrote a check for $500. And God could do that too,
sure.
Right? But just to show off, God made it all cash.
That's amazing.
Tens, fives, ones.
Yeah.
And used his people.
He used his people. Yeah, we probably didn't have 60, 75 people there that night.
Yeah.
It was so amazing. So what's one place you can look at in your church and say, God did that?
Mm.
That's one of the first ways you find what is Christ's plan for his church.
I love the idea that we are involved. We call it our ministry, and it's not. It never has been our ministry. Yeah. Because when we make it our ministry, man, do we really mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we change it. It's not anything that really even seems to have God's fingerprint on it. But when it is his ministry, that causes a reverence and a fear.
Yeah, that's right.
I do not want to mess this up. And, it's like the guy in our church who told me he has the ministry of the fog machine. No, well, that's great.
You just turn it on.
I said, do you come to this with a fear of, fear and reverence, holy reverence for that? And he went, no, but it really makes a difference in the worship. I said, looks like a bar, And but if it's really of God, if it's really the ministry, then it's God doing it, and we're fortunate sometimes not even knowing that we're being used by God, those things.
Good. So in a podcast, we can't tell you what Jesus' plan is for your church. You have to determine that. But I've had conversations with Henry about this in the past. Give me something practical, dude. How do I know what his plan is for my church?
Yeah.
Henry would say, look around and see what God's doing in your community. And so when the school called us, that's God's plan. I mean, look and see where you've got to see. And so that brings us to the next place, and this is really important. Is your church focused only on your particular church, or do you realize you are there for the kingdom? Is your church kingdom focused?
That's so rich.
And so when you begin to become kingdom focused, you lift up your eyes and you begin to see what God's doing. Then he reveals to you what's happening. If you're only focused on yourself, you may not see his plan. He may not reveal that to you.
That's so true.
You know, the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch. I mean, Jerusalem had lost so many members, right? And they sent the best they had because they were kingdom minded.
That's right. Yep.
And when they had a famine, where did the help come from in Jerusalem? It came from Antioch.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how God serves us as we very much be involved in kingdom focus. So, Mark, talk to us about how your church and how churches can be kingdom focused rather than
I think, one of the things, and you've already spoken to this some, but listen, as a leader, as a pastor, if you are not leading in your church in such a way that you actually have to have faith, I just think two things. I think a lot of our people in our churches are just bored because they haven't lived by faith in anything for a long time.
Are you talking about risky faith?
Risky faith.
Okay.
Risky faith. Where you, if you don't show up, I don't know what's going to happen. That kind of faith. And we have to not only demonstrate that, live that out in our own lives, but we have to help our people say, look, we talk about faith. I don't think God's really interested in us just talking about faith. What he said, I want you to exercise faith. I want you to actually trust me and believe on me and put yourself out there and get out of the boat. You know what I'm saying? And that can be scary. And there are pastoral aspects to this. But at the end of the day, planting church, for instance, I know right now we're talking about revitalizing declining churches, but Lord willing, in time, we want to see declining churches get healthy to the point where now they can go bless other declining churches and go replant churches and plant churches themselves. And that keeps you on your knees. It's constant faith because you have a kingdom vision.
Right.
It's not just about you.
Right.
So what? If your church grows from 30 to 150 people, praise the Lord, now what?
Yeah.
You're going to get either really lazy and just be satisfied with where you are, or you're going to keep trusting the Lord as you send others out to go help other dying churches and whatnot. So,
and you find Christ's plan for your church as you live a kingdom-focused life as a church.
Yeah.
Again, just using Henry Blackaby as an example, and we're going to do a whole thing on experiencing God in an upcoming series of podcasts. But you know the story of Henry. He moved his family to Saskatoon to a church that had two signs in the front yard, Faith Baptist Church and For Sale. And Henry said, if I'm coming, one of those two signs has to go. So they took the for sale side down, but they put it in the basement. They didn't throw it away because they weren't sure. And Henry, they couldn't pay him enough. He had a family, and he wasn't going to make it financially on what they paid him. And there was just a small handful of people there, and the church was really at the point of closure. The building was for sale. He moved up there. He just got there. I think the first day or second day they were there, this car pulls up, and it's from a group of men many, many hours north. And they said, we don't have a pastor. Will you help us, get replanted? Will you help us plant many hours north? And Henry said, yes. And he's at a church that can't afford him. He yes. just moved his family
there. I love that.
There,
wow.
Right? This
yeah.
is many hours north.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people are saying, you're nuts, Henry. And Henry said, no. This is God is revealing to me what he wants me to do. I mean, that's kingdom focus.
That is, yes.
Now, I can't imagine me responding the way Henry did. But then I'm not Henry, and thankful he is. But that's what I mean. Does your church realize it's not about your plan and what
right.
you want?
Yeah.
And this is where it all comes down, guys, right here. You ready? This is so special. God's under no obligation, nor will he resource your plans for his church.
Mm-hmm.
You can make every plan you want, and he's probably not going to give you a dime toward it, all right?
Yeah.
You're going to pay for it yourself because it's your plan. But he'll spare nothing from heaven to resource his plan for his church.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry found that out.
Wow.
As Henry was faithful to do what Jesus, even though it looked crazy, it looked foolish, he knew it was if you will do what you know Jesus wants you to do, he will resource it. So it begins with the podcast, the most recent one we did, the last episode. We got to know, have to know, what is Christ's purpose in his church? It's to glorify God. What is his plan for his church? It's to expand the kingdom and make much of Christ as we grow his kingdom. And we have to look where he is at work in those plans, and we have to follow his plan, not our plan. And it is so vitally important that we do that.
Amen.
And if we seek him in repentance constantly, he will reveal his plan to us. He wants
yes.
to do that.
Oh, I agree.
He wants to. See, that's
yeah,
the thing.
That's,
he's a good God.
Yeah.
All right.
You know?
Yeah,
that's
good. He's not. God's not saying, convince me.
That's right. That's
he said,
right.
let me convince you.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So here's the tattoo. You know, a lot of you are looking for a new tattoo.
Oh, you right here.
Here
it's
it is.
On, it's on my. Oh, you talk, I thought you were serious.
I'm going to give you a new one.
I was going to show you
here's
mine.
A new, oh, no.
Okay.
Lord, no. God's will done God's way never lacks for God's provision. And when we get a hold of that,
yeah,
man,
amen.
Does that make a difference on the decisions we make in our so churches and that our people make. All right, we're going to wrap this thing up. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today as we talk about revitalizing and replanting churches with Mark Clifton. Thanks to the North American Mission Board for making this happen. And thanks to Midwestern Seminary for letting us spend some time here in the Spurgeon Library to produce this broadcast. And we hope that you'll subscribe and just let us know that you're on board with us. It helps us. The more people that subscribe, the easier it is to market and get the word out about what we're doing. We've mentioned this before. Feel free to share this with your people in your church, with
right.
your family. Let
right.
them know
yes.
about it.
Yes, yes.
They need to hear some of this stuff also.
Right.
And we'll see you at the next episode.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor, or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.